Imagine trying to fly a 747 commercial jet, right? But the cockpit has a million unlabeled switches.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and if you flip the wrong one, you don't just crash. You get like permanently banned from every airport on Earth.
That sounds incredibly stressful.
It is. And for decades, that is exactly what running your own email server has felt like. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are dismantling that nightmare. But first, speaking of taking back control of your infrastructure, we are thrilled to have Safe Server supporting this deep dive.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, every organization wrestles with how to manage their communication tools. And so often, the default is to just surrender to these incredibly expensive proprietary services.
Right, like Microsoft Exchange or Google Workspace.
Exactly. We just accept those heavy subscription costs as a given. But open source solutions can actually replace those massive ecosystems at a fraction of the cost.
And well, when you're dealing with organizational communication, you're inherently dealing with compliance. I mean, if your business is navigating strict requirements around email retention or heavy data protection laws, safeguarding financial records, or, you know, maintaining pristine audit
It
trails.
gets complicated fast.
It does. Data sovereignty isn't just a corporate buzzword in those cases. It is a legal necessity. You need to know exactly where your data lives, who has access to it, and that no third-party tech giant is scanning it.
Which is exactly why Safe Server is tackling this pain point. They help organizations find and implement the right open source solutions tailored to their specific needs.
Yeah, and they handle the hard parts.
Right, everything from the initial consulting phase right through to the daily operation of these tools, and they do it all on highly secure German servers.
So you get the cost benefits of open source with the enterprise-grade reliability and data sovereignty your organization actually needs.
Exactly. So if you are ready to stop overpaying for proprietary lock-in, head over to www.safeserver.de for more information.
It's a vital service, really, and it perfectly mirrors the ethos of what we are analyzing today.
It really does. Because today, our sources are the official GitHub repository, some code breakdowns, and the documentation pages for a piece of open source software called ChatSquid.
ChatSquid.
Yeah. And our mission for you, the listener, is to explore how this specific project acts as a beginner-friendly, secure alternative. It's designed to help individuals and small groups take back control of their email. Okay, let's unpack
Let's
this.
do it.
Before we get into what makes ChatSquid unique,
Sure.
we need to establish the baseline. We are talking about an MTA, a mail transfer agent.
All right.
And since our audience generally understands that an MTA is the software responsible for routing mail from server to server over the internet, my question is, why is configuring an MTA historically such a fragile, terrifying process?
Well, you have to look at the history of the internet to understand the complexity there.
Okay.
The legacy MTAs that run most of the world's email today software, like PostFix or Exim, they were originally conceived in the 1980s and 90s.
Wow. That long ago.
Yeah. And back then, the internet was a high-trust environment. It was mostly like universities and government researchers passing text files around. There was no spam.
Right.
There were no highly sophisticated phishing syndicates. So as those threats evolved over the decades, the developers of those legacy MTAs had to bolt on security features, spam filters, and encryption protocols after the fact.
So instead of a unified architecture, you are looking at decades of
Yeah.
accumulated patches and workarounds.
Exactly. You end up with configuration files that are hundreds of lines long, filled with obscure syntax.
Which is why that 747 analogy is so apt, right?
Definitely. I mean, PostFix and Exim are incredibly powerful. They can route millions of emails for massive internet service providers and handle every bizarre edge case routing scenario you can imagine.
Right.
But to get that power, the administrator has to navigate an absolute minefield of configuration options. And, you know, complex code is where bugs hide, and complex configuration files are where human error thrives.
Yeah, and the documentation for ChatSquid makes it clear that they are approaching this from a completely different angle. It is written almost entirely in the Go programming language.
Yeah, about 86.8% of the code base.
Right. So why does the choice of Go matter for a mail server?
Well, Go was designed from the ground up by Google to build fast, reliable server software. Its greatest strength is concurrency.
Concurrency, like doing multiple things at once.
Exactly. The ability to handle thousands of simultaneous lightweight tasks efficiently. An email server might have hundreds of incoming connections sitting open at any given moment, slowly transmitting data.
Oh, I see.
Older languages often struggle with that, but Go handles it natively. What's fascinating here is the more important shift is actually philosophical.
How so?
The creators of TaskWid looked at that commercial jet cockpit of legacy MTAs and said, what if we just build a reliable car for a small team?
But I have to push back on that a bit.
Sure.
When we talk about internet infrastructure, the landscape is hostile. Your server is constantly being probed by automated bots looking for weaknesses.
Oh, constantly.
Right. So if TaskWid is prioritizing simplicity for beginners, does that mean we are sacrificing raw power or security? Are we just building an underpowered toy?
That is the core tension, for sure. But the reality is quite the opposite. Their philosophy is security through simplicity.
Okay, explain that.
By explicitly narrowing the scope, saying, we are only building this for individuals and small groups, not for massive enterprise ISPs, they completely eliminated the need for those thousands of edge case configuration options.
So by removing the dials and switches a small business will never use anyway, you are actually closing off 1,000 potential ways a beginner could accidentally misconfigure the server.
You are hitting on the exact mechanism.
Wow.
The documentation explicitly states that TaskWid is built to be hard to misconfigure in ways that are harmful. They didn't just write a manual on how to be secure. They hard-coded the guardrails directly into the software's foundation.
Let's look at those guardrails, because the sources highlight a few specific protections that usually trip up beginners. For instance, the server absolutely refuses to operate as an open relay.
Right.
Now, for anyone who hasn't managed a network before, is an open relay basically like a post office that leaves its loading dock wide open at night?
Yeah.
Letting anyone walk in, slap the post office's official return address on their own junk mail, and send it out.
That captures the spirit perfectly. In the 90s, open relays were actually considered polite.
Polite, really?
Yeah. Servers would happily forward mail for other servers to help the network function. But today, if your server is an open relay, automated spam bots will find it within minutes.
And then what happens?
They will use your server to blast out millions of spam emails, and your server's IP address will be permanently blacklisted by Google, Microsoft, everyone. Your legitimate emails will simply vanish.
That's brutal.
Legacy MTAs often require you to explicitly configure relay access carefully. TaskWid bypasses the risk entirely by hard-coding a total block on unauthorized relaying. It simply cannot be done.
It also prevents clear text authentication, right?
Like, right.
It forces encrypted connections before it even allows a user to type in their password.
Which sounds incredibly basic to us now, but you would be shocked at how many legacy systems will quietly fall back to allowing plain text passwords over the open internet if a single line in a configuration file is missing or mistyped.
Yikes. That brings us to how the software handles encryption in transit, specifically TLS.
Right, TLS.
The sources know that TaskWid tracks per-domain TLS support to prevent connection downgrading. How does a downgrade attack actually work mechanically?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of internet security, you have to understand the handshake process between two email servers.
Okay.
When your server connects to a receiving server, it usually starts in plain text and then asks, hey, do you support TLS encryption? This is called the start ILS command. If the other server says yes, they upgrade the connection and encrypt the email.
So where does the attack happen?
An attacker performing a man-in-the-middle attack sits between the two servers. When your server sends that start ILS question, the attacker intercepts it, blocks it, and replies to your server saying, nope, I don't support encryption. You have to send this in plain text.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and older servers wanting to ensure the mail gets delivered no matter what will often accept that lie, drop their shields, and send the email completely unencrypted.
Allowing the attacker to read everything.
Exactly.
That's wild. They trick the server into volunteering the data, but TaskWid tracks historical TLS support.
Yes. It maintains an internal database. If your server has successfully used encryption with a specific domain in the past, and suddenly that domain claims it doesn't support encryption anymore, TaskWid recognizes the anomaly.
Oh, that's smart.
It knows it's likely a downgrade attack. So instead of dropping its shields and sending the mail in plain text, it drops the connection entirely. It protects the data.
That is brilliant. And the documentation mentions a whole suite of alphabet soup security protocols built right in to verify senders.
Oh, yeah. SPF, MTA, STS, checking.
And DKIM support, right. Both for signing and verifying.
Right.
In older software, you usually have to manually generate cryptographic keys and weave them into the system. How does TaskWid handle this?
It handles it natively. For those listeners who might be rusty on their email protocols, think of these as the cryptographic proof of identity.
Okay.
SPF is like leaving a guest list at the door. It's a DNS record that tells the world which IP addresses are allowed to send mail on your behalf.
And DKIM.
TKIM is more complex. It acts like a cryptographic wax seal on the envelope. ChatSquid automatically uses private keys to sign outgoing emails.
Okay, so it seals it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When the receiving server gets the email, it checks the public key in your DNS records to verify that the wax seal hasn't been broken and that the email wasn't altered in transit.
Having DKIM signing built directly into the MTA, rather than requiring the admin to install and configure a separate piece of software just to handle the cryptography, is a massive usability win.
It really is.
It also integrates natively with Let's Encrypt for TLS certificates. Mm. So instead of buying a security certificate, manually installing it, and inevitably forgetting to renew it a year later when it expires and breaks your server.
We've all been there.
Right. ChatSquid automates the entire lifecycle. Okay, so the foundation is Fort Knox.
Yeah.
The doors are locked, the downgrade attacks are neutralized, and the cryptographic wax seals are applied. But a secure server is useless if it cannot handle a business expanding.
True.
What happens when a user wants to run three different business websites off this one server?
Well, security has to be balanced with utility, and the developers clearly understood the daily needs of a sysadmin. ChatSquid supports multiple or virtual domains out of the box.
Oh, nice.
So you can host the email for your business, your personal blog, and a local community group all on the same single instance.
It also supports international usernames and domain names natively.
Mechanically, it uses modern protocols like SMTP UTF-8 and IDNA.
What does that mean in practice?
It means a user in Tokyo can have an email address entirely in Japanese characters, and ChatSquid routes it flawlessly. Legacy MTAs that were built when the internet was strictly English-only, ASCII text, often require complex workarounds to prevent them from crashing when they see non-Latin characters.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me, though. There is a feature built in called suffix dropping.
Ah, yeah.
It sounds incredibly dry, but it is deeply practical for the end user. The documentation shows this formula user plus something at domain transforms into just user at domain.
Right.
So for you listening, here's what that means in the real world. Say your email is alex@mybusiness.com. You can sign up for a software service using Alex plus software name at mybusiness.com.
Mm-hmm.
ChatSquid sees the plus sign, drops the suffix for the delivery routing, and drops the email straight into your main inbox.
But the crucial part is that the tag remains intact in the email headers.
Right. So you can easily set up filters in your inbox based on those tags. Or, even better, if you suddenly start getting phishing spam sent to Alex, plus that tone software at mybusiness.com, you know definitively which company sold your data or suffered a data breach.
Exactly.
It is an incredibly empowering way to track your digital footprint, and the server handles the routing logic automatically without you having to create a new alias for every single signup.
It is a phenomenal feature. But looking at the utility, we also need to address the limitations.
Okay, what's missing?
What does ChatSquid not do, and how does it compensate? Well, it is an MTA. Its core job is to transfer mail securely. It deliberately does not try to be a monolithic antivirus engine or an overly complex spam filter all on its own.
And the documentation highlights how they solve that. They use hooks.
Yes, hooks.
There are hooks for graylisting, antivirus, anti-spam, and deep RRC.
This raises an important question regarding flexibility. A major concern with simplified software is the fear that you will outgrow it.
Like it's too basic.
Right. If your small business suddenly gets heavily targeted by malware campaigns, you need serious filtering. The developers solve this using the classic Unix philosophy.
Which is?
Do one thing well, transfer mail securely, but allow easy integration with specialized tools. Mechanically, a hook is a clearly defined doorway in the code.
Okay.
When an email arrives, ChatSquid pauses the delivery, hands the message through the hook to an external dedicated program like Spam Assassin, asks, is this safe? And waits for the verdict before proceeding.
So you aren't walled in. You get the simplicity of the core server,
right,
but you have the freedom to plug in robust industry standard filtering tools as your organization's needs scale up.
Precisely. It keeps the core architecture clean while remaining highly extensible.
So we have a tool that is secure by design and highly useful for daily operations. But a tool like this is really only as good as the visibility you have into its operations.
Oh, absolutely.
What happens when the engine sputters? If an email you send to your most important client doesn't arrive, you need to know exactly why,
right,
immediately.
Observability is where self-hosting usually becomes a nightmare. Historically, if you wanted to know what an email server was doing, you had to remotely log into the terminal and continuously monitor massive, dense text files called server logs.
Oh, sounds awful.
It is. You are essentially using command line tools to hunt for a single line of text among thousands of interleaved concurrent processes, trying to piece together why a specific email bounced.
But the documentation for ChatSquid highlights a built-in mockering HTTP server with exported variables and tracing to help debugging. So what does this all mean for the person actually running this?
It means they built a modern web dashboard directly into the back end of the software. Instead of flying blind or digging through archaic text files, you can point a web browser at the server and see a structured, real-time visual representation of its internal status.
And the tracing aspect is what really caught my eye.
Tracing is vital. Mechanically, tracing means the server assigns a unique internal ID to every single incoming and outgoing message. It then logs every solitary step of that specific message's journey in isolation. Received from sender, encryption checked, authentication verified, spam hook triggered, DNS lookup performed, delivery attempted.
Wow.
Because it is isolated by that unique ID, if an email fails, the trace shows you the exact millimeter where it hit a wall without the noise of the 50 other emails the server was processing at that exact same second.
That visibility is a massive paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It takes the guesswork out of being a system administrator.
It really does.
If you couple that with their community support, I mean, we're looking at nearly 1,000 stars on GitHub, active contributors, live chat via IRC, and a dedicated private channel for reporting security vulnerabilities directly to the primary developer, it becomes a highly sustainable project to rely on.
By building that observability directly into the tool, they make operating an email server long-term a realistic proposition for a small team without a dedicated IT department.
It really pulls the curtain back.
Yeah.
So to recap the takeaways from this deep dive for you, what ChatSquid proves is that running your own custom email infrastructure doesn't have to be a terrifying ordeal where one typo in a configuration file ruins your business's reputation.
Right.
By utilizing a modern Go-based architecture, the developers stripped away decades of legacy bloat. They hard-coded the strict security guardrails directly into the foundation, neutralizing threats like downgrade attacks and open relays by default.
Yeah.
And with smart mechanisms like suffix dropping, automated Let's Encrypt certificates, and clear tracing dashboards, it represents a highly accessible, powerful gateway into reclaiming your communication infrastructure.
It redefines the baseline of what is possible for a small organization to manage independently without compromising on enterprise-grade security.
And taking back that independence is exactly why we are so glad to have Safe Server supporting this deep dive. We've just spent the last section exploring how modern open-source software like ChatSquid can completely replace the need for massive, opaque third-party systems. Organizations, whether you are a scaling business, a nonprofit association, or a specialized group, stand to gain immense value, compliance, security, and massive cost savings by making the switch from expensive proprietary software to open source solutions.
And SafeServer makes that transition seamless.
They really do. They can be commissioned for consulting to determine whether ChatSquid or a comparable open source alternative is the perfect fit for your exact operational needs. They help you reclaim your data sovereignty, and they handle the operation on secure German servers. You can learn more and get started at www.safeserver.de.
It is a critical conversation for any organization to have regarding their data, and it leaves us with something deeper to consider about the tools we rely on every single day. If independent, open-source developers have managed to take something as notoriously complex as an SMTP server and re-engineer it to be this elegant, simple, and inherently secure, what other pieces of our daily digital infrastructure are we needlessly outsourcing to massive tech conglomerates simply because we falsely assume they are too hard to run ourselves?